Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity, another opportunity to come and worship you. We ask, Father, that you would continue to bless your servants throughout the world, that you would bless this ministry as it grows and prospers in these last days. Father, hear our prayers and answer according to your will. We thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and giving his life that we might have it more abundantly, that we might overcome this world, Father, as we follow in his footsteps. Again, Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. We thank you, Father, for raising us up this day and giving us life, Father. As we look into your word, we ask that your word would have free course in us, that you would touch our hearts and cause us to draw closer to you, Father, as we think about that great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his life, and how he overcame this world. So help us, Father, as we seek to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, Children of Job, Children of Yahweh. We want our children to become children of Yahweh, not by birth, but by the Spirit. They must each desire the kingdom of Yahweh on their own. We can put that hope within them through the faith we have as parents, but they must desire the kingdom as much as we desire it. We're going to start in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared Elohim and turned away from evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 children. At number of ordinal perfection. 7 sons. We know 7 is the number of completeness. Verse 3, it says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of the east. And his sons went and held a feast in the house of each one upon his day. And they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced Elohim in their hearts. In this manner did Job continually. Now, a lot of people say that these kids of his were celebrating their birthdays, okay? And that was a sin. It doesn't say that in the word, that this is a sin to celebrate your birthday. I know a lot of people say, well, it comes out of paganism, that's where it comes from. Job was considered a righteous man. According to this, it said he was perfect. Okay? And Yahweh had blessed Job. So what Job did is he went and sacrificed for his kids to make sure that if they sinned, you know, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, he covered them. He tried to cover his children, okay, with his sacrifices for them. Now, it says that he did this continually. And I know that the popular belief is that there was an issue with this. Not with him sacrificing for his children, but with them celebrating on their so-called birthdays. Now, in verse 6, it says, Now it came to pass on a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. So this would have been the feast days. And Yahweh said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and from in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears Elohim. He fears Yahweh and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, does Job fear Elohim for nothing? In other words, he only does it because you're blessing him. See? That's the only reason that you're fearing Yahweh. Verse 10, he says, have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? See, Satan is questioning, the only reason that Job is so faithful to you is because you've protected him and his house, his children, all that he has. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance has increased in the land, but put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will renounce you to your face. This is what Satan is saying to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh. He left the presence of Yahweh. And it says, and it fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. That there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yet they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, the fire of Elohim has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only have escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made three bands and fell upon the camels and have taken them away, yes, and have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell you. So he had three different catastrophes happen at the same time, and only one escaped to tell him. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. And struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and rent his robe, and shaved his head, because he was mourning, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. He didn't renounce Yahweh. He worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged Elohim foolishly. See, Satan says that if you touch all that Job has, he's going to renounce you. But Satan did it. He gave Satan the opportunity, and Satan killed his kids, took away all his wealth, and guess what? Job didn't sin as Satan said he would. In verse 8 of Job 1, it says, and Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him? Now, can Yahweh say this about each one of us? Have you considered your servant? Put your name right in there. Think about the catastrophes, the problems that you might have in your life. And when these things come upon you, are you ready to renounce Yahweh? No, we can't. What Job did that made him so exceptional is verse 5. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them. He sanctified his children. He tried to make sure that they were doing the right thing. Yet, I know most people have been taught that they were keeping a birthday, and that's why they died. You understand? The scripture doesn't bear that out. It doesn't say that's why they died. It says that they died because Satan wanted to destroy Job. And Yahweh allowed certain things to happen. He allows certain things to happen in our lives, brethren. Okay? But this message is about children of Job, children of Yahweh. Are we going to be like Job when these catastrophes happen and these things befall us? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've heard this. We know this. This is why we try to teach our children the law of Yahweh, the Torah, so that as they get older, they realize that they have this instilled within them and that they will in turn cling to Yahweh, that they will turn to Yahweh even if they've walked away from him. We're going to look at another example in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll start in verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were base men. They did not know Yahweh, yet their father was the man of Elohim. He was the leader of the faith at that time. And his children should have been walking in truth. They should have been doing the will of Yahweh. But they didn't know Yahweh. And that's sad. And the custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant came while the flesh was boiling with the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites that came there. They were bringing their offerings to Yahweh. The priest got 8 of those offerings. Those tithes and those offerings the priest ate of, okay? It says, verse 15, yes, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have his boiled flesh of you, but raw. See, they koshered their meat. They were doing this, you know, to get the blood out because they weren't supposed to eat the blood. OK? kind of took that scripture out of my message, which I'll give you the reference to it because I wanted to keep it short. It says here, but they wanted it raw, verse 16. And if the man said to him, they will surely burn the fat first, then take as much as your soul desires. Then he would say, no, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. And the sin of the young men was very great before Yahweh. For the men despised the offering of Yahweh. And this is something we can't do, brethren. We have to respect the offering of Yahweh. We have to keep the commandments that Yahweh has given us. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 12, 23, where it talks about not eating the flesh with the blood in it, that the blood must be poured out. And verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, clothed with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little robe and brought it to him from year to year. And his mother was Hannah. She had prayed for this child and asked Yahweh in a vow, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. Which she did. She dedicated him to Yahweh. And after he was weaned, he went and lived with Eli at the temple of Yahweh. At that time, it was Shiloh. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, may Yahweh give you seed of this woman for the petition which was asked of Yahweh. And they went to their own home, and Yahweh visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before Yahweh. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women that did service at the door of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Know, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make Yahweh's people to sin, to transgress. If one man sins against another, Elohim shall judge him. But if a man sins against Yahweh, who shall pray for him? However, they did not listen to the voice of their father, because it was Yahweh's will to put them to death. They were wicked men. And the child Samuel grew on and increased in favor both with Yahweh and also with men. Verse 27, and there came a man of Elohim to Eli and said to him, in this manner says Yahweh, yet another prophet, come to him. Did I reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons above me? And this is what the prophet brought to Eli, because he's saying, you honor your sons before Yahweh. See, Job was just the opposite. He sacrificed for those kids, thinking that if they didn't do what was right, he would cover them. See? But he was trying to teach his children the right way to go. Where Eli, being the man of Elohim, he was the one that was supposed to teach all the people, had changed some things. He didn't do what he was supposed to do as far as his sons was concerned. His sons were supposed to be leaders among the people. See? But they weren't. They were vile. They were like criminals. The children of Job or the children of Yahweh. What we're looking at here, and I'm going to finish this chapter out here. It says, Yahweh says, then honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the foremost of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, says, I indeed, that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now Yahweh says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So if you want to be blessed, honor Yahweh. Do the things that are right in his sight, and you'll receive a blessing. Verse 31, behold, the days come that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, that there shall not be an old man in your house, and you shall behold the affliction of my habitation and all the wealth which Elohim shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And the man of yours, whom I shall not cut off from my altar, shall be consumed. Shall be to consume your eyes and to grieve your heart, and all the increase of your house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be the sign to you that shall come upon your two sons, one Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. Talking about Samuel. Eli's lineage was cut off, and his two sons, that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in your house shall come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a loaf of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray you, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a morsel of bread. He's talking about the kids of Phinehas and Hophni. But they were no longer in the priest's office. They were cut off. Samuel then took on that lineage. Almighty Yahweh tells us and gives us direction. Job chapter 4. Job was going through his affliction after Satan came again and said, you know, skin for skin. You know, if you take away, a man will give all his wealth for his health. And most will. Verse 4, it says, chapter 4, verse 1. Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, if one tries to commune with you, will you be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him that was falling, and you have made firm the feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you faint. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your fear of Elohim your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember, I pray you, whoever perishes being innocent, or where were the upright cut off? According as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Now, part of what he's saying is true. We reap what we sow. But guess what? It wasn't totally on point. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. And the reason I'm saying this is because there have been many that have been persecuted, that have been destroyed, Matthew chapter 2, verse, let's start in verse 16. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding angry, and sent forth and killed all the male children that were in Bethlehem and in all the borders of it, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had exactly learned of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of Yahweh appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned of Yahweh in a dream, he withdrew into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophets, that he should be called a Nazarene. Now we see here that all these kids, this infanticide happened. These children under the age of two were destroyed. Now, did these children sin against Yahweh? No. So what you see that Eliphaz said about, you know, people reaping what they sow, these children hadn't sinned against Yahweh, yet they were destroyed. Just like Job's children were destroyed. They were killed. And Yahweh allowed it to happen. You understand? Satan took it upon himself to destroy Job's family and his wealth. He also took it upon himself to destroy these children in Bethlehem because the devil was angry and trying to destroy the Savior. He thought he could, you know, he was mocked by the wise men, so he thought he could kill and destroy the Savior in destroying all these children. Exodus chapter 1, turn over there. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of the one was Shaphara, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the birth stool, if it's a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing, and have you saved the men children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, but they are lively and are delivered before the midwife comes to them. And Elohim dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them households. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Again, infanticide. The devil killing children. Why? Because he was trying to destroy Moses. See? But Yahweh saved Moses alive. Now, these children that died in Egypt, they did die. You understand? Okay? Now, did they sin before Yahweh? No. They were just born. Children of Job, children of Yahweh. Keep this in mind. Understand. Like I told you in the beginning, a lot of people would come and show and say that this is a, you know, they got killed because they were celebrating a birthday. And this is the reason the house fell on them. Nowhere in the scripture does that bear out. It said here that Satan said that if you take everything away from this man, he will renounce you. And he did. He said, everything is in your hand. That's what Yahweh told Satan. And what did he do? He went and destroyed all of his wealth and killed his family. Right? Took his kids away. And Job did not sin with his lips. he did not renounce Yahweh. So Satan was proved to be a liar. And this is what we have to understand, brethren. He is a liar. But Yahweh is going to bless those children. See? Psalm 94. O Yahweh, UL to whom vengeance belongs, UL to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Lift up yourself, you judge of the earth, render to the proud their desert. Yahweh, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Yahweh, and afflict your heritage. We know the heritage of Yahweh are his children. They kill the widow and the sojourners and murder the fatherless. They say, Yah will not see, neither will the Elohim of Jacob consider. Consider you brutish among the people and you fools. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises the nation, shall not he correct? Even he that teaches man knowledge. Yahweh knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, brethren. Blessed is the man whom you correct, O Yah, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment shall return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Has to be us, brethren. It has to be Yahweh's people, the children of Yahweh, the children of his heritage. Psalm 127. Psalm 127 says, except Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except Yahweh keeps the city, the watchman awakes. But in vain, it is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he gives to his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. In Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in his ways, for you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, you shall see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. For you to see your children's children, that means that you're being blessed. And you can see your grandkids. Almighty Yahweh is blessing his people in many ways. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. It says, even a child makes himself known by his doing, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. Yes, you can judge what's going on in a child's life by his work, by the fruit, what comes out. Remember, we read 22:6. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now, look down to verse 27, Verse 20. It says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in blackness or darkness. They're going to be destroyed if they're rebellious children, if they don't learn the respect. See, what Job did for his children was a positive thing. Because a lot of times our children don't understand. They haven't matured enough to get to that point where they can understand what Yahweh wants them to do. We can train them. We can teach them. Okay? But they do have to have some experience. They're going to make mistakes. We hope that they don't make the same mistakes we've made. We hope they can learn from our mistakes. Okay? But at the same time, they're going to make their mistakes because they're children. And sometimes they will go a little too far. In verse 27, it says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of Yahweh, searching all his innermost parts. Kindness and truth preserves the king, and his throne is upheld by kindness. The glory of young men is their strength. Yeah, they're in the weight room. They're trying to build their bodies up, you know, getting that strength on. But guess what? What did the rest of it say? And the beauty of old men is the gray head. Okay? That gray hair says something about you. Just like your muscles say something about you when you're young. You're diligent. You're putting that effort in. You're the gym. But guess what? We're in the Word. You know? We're in the Word. Well, you got the best of both worlds. So, what we want to understand here, and we want to give a good example to our children, because we want them to see what Yahweh has in store for them. See? It's a blessing to be a child of Yahweh. The children of Job, they were destroyed. But Yahweh blessed them in the end. Isaiah chapter 25. Remember, as it says in Ezekiel, each man will be judged for his own sin. And Isaiah 25, verse 6, it says, and in this mountain will Yahweh of hosts make to all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that covers all the peoples, and the veil that is spread over all the nations is being destroyed. These people are going to be able to see and understand what Yahweh is bringing forth in these last days. He has swallowed up death forever. And the sovereign Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the reproach of his people will he take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65:8, it says, in this manner, says Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the clusters, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, Yaakov, and out of Judah, Yehuda, one who praises Yahweh, the worshipers of Yahweh, an inheritor of my mountain, his government. And my chosen shall inherit it. And Sharon shall be a fold of flock. And the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But you that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, for G-O-D, and that fill up mingled wine to destiny, money. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but you did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. They've gone off into idolatry and the Baal worship. This is why this worship is growing in these last days. Yahweh is blessing the people who are called out for his name. And see, I was at a funeral yesterday, and I tell you, again, it's very frustrating to hear these people trying to preach people into heaven when the body's laying right there before them. The scriptures teach no man has gone into heaven. And you know what? Why have a resurrection if the people all go to heaven? There's no need for a resurrection. The Bible teaches a resurrection. Okay? The resurrection of the dead. The out from the dead. Now, if everybody goes to heaven, which they don't, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's false doctrine. And they're up there preaching, and the preacher was very, she was funny. She wasn't one of those that was doing a lot of hooping, but she had you laughing. She was a jokester, I'll tell you. But the point I'm trying to bring out is that so many people are going down that wrong road because they're listening to these fallacies. They're being taught these lies. Now, Yahweh tells us right in his word that the kingdom is coming to this earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we have to get a people ready for that kingdom. Now, we're going to look at this. I'm going to go through this. And I want you to keep your ear open. Verse 13, he says, therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse to my chosen, and the sovereign Yahweh will kill you, and he will call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of truth. There's only one living El. His name is Yahweh, brother. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more there an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. This is happening during that 1,000 years, brethren. Okay? Those children that did not get an opportunity will get their opportunity to live. See, because Satan hasn't had an opportunity to persuade them. After that 1,000 years, they'll all be subject to Satan, giving them an opportunity to be deceived. Now, many people will follow him after the 1,000 years. But see, these children that have not had an opportunity will get their opportunity. But see, this 1,000 years is saying the child shall die 100 years old. See, because the people live for that whole 1,000 years. The life of a tree, the life of an olive tree lasts 1,000 years, and it gives fruit. It says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth calamity, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh. You understand? And their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says Yahweh. Now, you put a wolf right now with a lamb, what's going to happen? The lamb is going to be toast. So what we see that the nature is going to be changed during that 1,000 years. Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolation. And they shall prepare the waste cities, and the desolation of many generations. And the stranger shall stand and feed your flock. And foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them, for I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now, why could that not happen before? Because there was a veil over, and that veil has been removed. There was a covering over the people. Their understanding was darkened. They did not know Yahweh. But now, guess what? They can know Yahweh in these last days. Verse 7 of Isaiah 25, it says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that covers all peoples, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He's destroyed that so that the people can hear and understand and they can see. The eyes of the blind are being opened, as it says in Isaiah 61, because this is what Yahshua the Messiah did. He opened the eyes of the blind. For our closing passage, I need you to turn over to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be restrained. Can he resurrect the dead? Absolutely. He proved that, not only with Lazarus, But he proved it with Yahshua the Messiah, who is the firstborn from the dead. You understand? We have an example. If we keep the covenant, if we walk in truth, we can be resurrected if we make the grave our home. Some of us will not die because of what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Those who are yet alive will rise to meet Yahshua in the air. But in Job 42, verse 3, it says, "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I plead you, and I will speak. I will demand of you and declare you to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words to Job, Yahweh said to Eliphaz the Temanite, the one that I read about in chapter 4. He says, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take of you 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, that I deal not with you after your folly. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right." And most of these preachers out there aren't speaking that which is right of Yahweh. They're teaching lies. They're teaching the things that will cause most people to go to this death that they're not going to be able to recover from. See? That's why there's a greater condemnation on the preachers and the leaders, but you got to teach the people the truth. You can't teach them these lies and these errors, but they do it because they're getting paid. You know? That's their job. They're hirelings. But what did Yahshua say? He's not a hireling. He's the good shepherd. He cares for the sheep. He says, "Have Job pray for you. For him will I accept, that I deal not with you after your folly. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as Yahweh commanded them, and Yahweh accepted Job. And Yahweh turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and Yahweh gave Job twice as much as he had before. And there came there to him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintances before, and ate bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him concerning all the evil that Yahweh had brought upon him. Where were they when he needed them? You understand? His three friends came, but where was all his brethren and his sisters, his family? They weren't there when Job was being tried. It says, "Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one a ring of gold." So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's what he had before, right? And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Harpooch. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old for days. See, the children of Job were many because Yahweh blessed him in his latter end because Job did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes. He prayed for his children. He sanctified them and sacrificed for them in case they were going a little off, doing something that was wrong. But you know what? Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Yahweh judged those kids because they were celebrating a birthday. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Yahweh destroyed those children in Bethlehem because they had sinned. They died because of Satan the devil. You understand? He's the one. He has power on this earth to destroy. He has the power of death, but Yahshua has the victory over death. He has given us that ability to overcome death. We will be resurrected, those of us that die, before Yahshua returns, as long as we have his Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important for you to receive that baptism, for you to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit before it's too late. Almighty Yahweh is calling today for a people to stand up, to rise up. I read it earlier. I'll read it again. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people who are going to rise up with him and for him in these last days. He's going to bless each and every one of us that put our hands to the wheel to make this come to pass, that his people will fulfill his promises, because each one of us want to be a child of Yahweh. Remember, the children of Yahweh will overcome this world and Satan the devil, regardless of what we have to go through to get there. Yahweh is the one that we have to seek. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Davis if he would come and close with a word of prayer. Would you all please rise at this time?
Almighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne, we praise and thank you for this word, and we ask that you would seal this word in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our souls. Empower we your children to be those overcomers and to humble ourselves and to become children, not just children of yours, but children of righteousness as well. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would even bless our physical children, our biological children this day. We ask that you would heal them in the areas they need healing. We ask that you would comfort them in the areas they need comforting. We ask that you would even convict us all in the areas that we need conviction. As we, each and every one of us, have to come humble as a little child, we ask that you would continue to allow your word and your spirit to lead and guide us into all truths. We ask that you would restore virtue unto Elder Davis and Sister Davis. We ask that you would strengthen them and renew their strength this day. Continue to crown their heads with wisdom and give us all peace to discern the direction we need to go in. We ask these and all other blessings in your Son's name. Hallelujah.
Our closing song, if you will take your songbooks in hand, we'll be singing number 15.